Welcome to the Speak Pact Podcast, where high-performing speakers and the producers who hire them merge to give you the insider secrets to the lucrative speaking industry. Antoniette Rose, your podcast host and celebrated speaker agent, unveils insider success strategies. Discover a nexus of thought leaders and bookers, maximizing your potential in each and every episode. Your ticket to ultimate speaking success begins right here. Catch the transformative insights waiting for you on the Speak Pact Podcast, hosted by the industry powerhouse herself, Antoniette Rose.
Welcome, welcome back to Speak Pact. We are thrilled you're here with us today. I have a very special guest, and we are going to dive into the world of storytelling because he is a master when it comes to communications and storytelling. We have Cesar Castro with us, who is a psychologist and a communications leader. And right now, what he does is strategic storytelling. That is his company. So essentially, he is going to train us how to take stories and actually build our careers from those stories. And if you're a speaker and you don't know how to tell stories, then this is a key ingredient to your success. So Cesar, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much, Antoniette. I'm so happy to be here, excited to be able to share with you and this wonderful community of speakers and communicators who are trying to get their message across to the world.
Yes. Well, and I know that many emerging speakers, which that's who our audience is, they're high achievers, generally in the personal and professional development space. We have doctors, we have all kinds of high achieving experts in their genre, right? But they're done with the day-to-day. They're ready to get their message out there in a bigger, broader way so that they can pass the torch. And what better way to do that through the power of your voice and through speaking. So tell me a little bit about what clicked for you? What made you decide? You are obviously an accomplished man and you made a pretty big shift into the world of speaking. That might have maybe felt like a gamble for some, right? Tell us a little bit about that shift and are you glad you made it?
Yeah, you know what? My shift, because when I think about when did it shift for me professionally, I actually think that my shift started way before I was an adult and a professional. I actually started more in my childhood, because there was an important event that happened when I was about 6 or 7. My family, I'm originally from Chile, just so you know, from South America. And my family moved to the United States when I was about 7 years old. It was because of medical reasons. My youngest brother was born with hydrocephalus, and in Chile, they didn't really know how to help him very much. Okay. So at the end, once we got here to the States, you know, they tried to find more help for him medically. Luckily, my brother was able to live 22 years. So he outlived all the expectations.
Wow.
And when we arrived to the United States, I was a 7-year-old kid. I had no background in English. So I wasn't able to communicate very well with people, because when you can't speak the language, it makes it very hard. So I still remember going to school and just sitting next to the teacher, because she had like a special seat for me so she could help me out during class. And I would just go and sit there and literally I wouldn't talk with anyone. I would look at the floor, and the whole time in my head I'd be thinking, please don't come ask me questions. Don't talk to me. Because I was just very shy and scared to communicate. And I had been here for about 4 or 5 months. So I was now starting to understand the language a little bit better. And I remember one Monday morning, and this to me is that before and after experience that kind of started pushing me into communication, into speaking. Because that Monday morning, as I show up early to class, I show up so early that I'm there by myself with the teacher. And she walks up to me and greets me very nicely. And then she asked me, because she had learned a few Spanish words to try to communicate with me. So she comes up to me and she's like, hey, hola, Cesar, you know, como estás? How are you doing? And then she says, today, hoy, you to storytell, contar historia in front of class. And I acted like I didn't understand, which is like the easiest thing we can do at that moment. I was like, no entender. And she just said, yes, you can do it. And she put her little thumb up and she said, you can do it. Now, I knew what she was asking me because every Monday morning, she had this kind of like this little practice that she did in class where she would pick 3 to 4 random classmates to get up in front of class and tell a little story. It was her way of, I think, getting the kids to speak in public, kind of getting over that fear of speaking in public. I obviously never thought she was going to ask me because I couldn't speak the language. And that day she asked me. And class starts and she starts calling on different kids. And she was like on the 3rd or 4th kid. And I thought, okay, I dodged the bullet. She's not going to call on me. When all of a sudden I hear these frightening words, Cesar, it's your turn. Tu turno. And I still remember, Antonieta, even though this happened such a long time ago, I still remember that the feeling of getting up, walking towards the front of my class. My heart was beating 1,000 miles an hour. My hands were sweaty. My knees were shaky. And once I get up to the front of the class and I turn around and I look at my 30 classmates that were in there, they're all staring back at me. I didn't know what to say. My mind went blank. And at that moment, I mean, I would love to tell you that, you know, I got up and I told this great story and that was the moment that I knew I was destined to be a storyteller, but it didn't happen that way. Actually, after a few seconds of you know, just a blank stare, I did remember a little experience. I did remember a little story of something that we had done as a family, like the week before, 2 weeks before. And I tried to tell that story to the best of my abilities that I had at that moment with my kind of Tarzan English. And I told a very simple story. I think it probably lasted like 30 seconds. I felt like it had been up there for 5 minutes, but it was about 30 seconds. And once I finished telling that story, I went and sat down in that little desk next to the teacher. And I just looked at the floor and I was thinking the whole time, oh, you did a horrible job, Cesar. No one understood what you said. Oh, and that story you told, wow, that was a crappy story. And after a few seconds of, you know, self-loathing, I finally got the courage to look up. And when I look up, all my classmates, all 30 of them were looking back at me. And they were all with their little fingers giving me a thumbs up. And that to me, that moment of just seeing, you know, the reaction, thumbs up, which obviously is a universal language, you know, means good job. Mm-hmm. That to me was a before and after. Because I think that was the first time that I ever felt the power of telling a story. I ever felt the power of just getting up in front of a group and trying to communicate something, even though I didn't have all the skills and I didn't have storytelling or anything, just trying to do the best that I could and just the connecting and emotional power that had. And that experience was so positive for me, even though at first it was frightening, but then it became so positive that every Monday when I'd show up to class, I'd be the first one to raise my hand because I wanted to get up there and tell a story. And obviously I got better and better at it. My language, also the English improved. I got better at storytelling to the point where when I was about 11 and 12, I started competing. And actually at 12 years old, I won the national storytelling competition at a, you know, scholastic level here in the United States and got invited to festivals. And that to me was like the beginning. That was the initial movement that led me to develop this powerful skill of communication and specifically storytelling. So when people ask me, did this happen when you were an adult? Yeah, there are things that happen when you're an adult that kind of lead you professionally. But when I think of when did I really fall in love with communication? When did I really feel the power of telling stories? Was when I was 7 years old and I got up in front of my class.
Okay, so I can see how well you help leaders, business leaders, and entrepreneurs become great storytellers. Because just in that little clip that you just shared, you brought me to tears. Like I was seeing little Cesar at 7 years old, terrified, right, in this whole new world, totally out of your element, fully immersed into a culture you weren't familiar with, fighting for your brother's life, and that teacher. Like, in one instance, I'm like, how could she do that to you? In the other instance, I'm applauding her for really encouraging you to come out of your shell and letting the rest of the group see who this little heart was, right? Sitting there at the front of the room. So just that, I don't know how long that took, a minute, 2 minutes for you to share that story. You drew me in a big way. And I already knew some about you. So that was illustrating the power of storytelling.
Yes.
Why should business leaders know this skill? Why should entrepreneurs and in our space, speakers really be able to hone in and understand how to capture people's hearts through storytelling? Isn't it logistical? Isn't it tactical? Like why the heart piece?
Well, if we think of it just in a tactical manner, 70 to 80% of what we do in our day-to-day is related to communication, right? If you're in the business world, which is where a lot of my clients are, I always tell them that's your main job. And that's what you do in your day-to-day is communicate. Now, we do that through public communication sometimes. We do that through small group communication. We do that through interpersonal one-on-one communication, or we do it through, you know, digital virtual communication, but we're always communicating. So if I were to tell you that, you know, in your job description, 70 to 80% of what you're going to be doing is communication, you better be really good at it, because your job and the success of your job will depend on your ability to communicate. Now, despite the fact that communication is so critical, and we, like, no one's going to tell you, no, communication is not important. You know, everyone says when we have this conversation, I have this conversation with my clients, they always say, yes, communication is probably the most important skill. And then when you ask them, well, what are you doing to develop or become a better communicator? Usually you hear crickets. At the most, last year or 2 years ago, my company sent me to a one-day seminar or, you know, I've had one or two coaching sessions. But again, if this is your main job and this is the way we influence or persuade people to get things done, you got to be really good at it. And I think the biggest issue that we're having, at least that I constantly face with leaders, is they know it's important, but because they do it every day, it's really hard to become aware of where your real challenges or difficulties in communication are. Now, I train business leaders in how to become good public speakers, because a lot of what leadership is and where a lot of the decisions are made and a lot of the high impact moments are when you're up there in front of your team, or you're giving a big conference for your company, or you are a speaker and you got this opportunity to speak in front of 500 people or 1,000 people. Those are moments where it can be a before and after. So you better make sure that you hit it out of the ballpark, like we say. And when it comes to communication, and especially when it comes to persuasion and influence and being able to communicate information with emotion, which is what people really feel and remember, storytelling is the most powerful skill we have for that. Okay, I'm gonna repeat that, because I think it's a brain tattoo. Storytelling is the most powerful communication skill we can develop to be able to communicate information with emotion. And it's that perfect mix and balance of information and emotion, which leads us to be able to influence people's decisions, actions, and even attitude towards whatever we're communicating.
Ooh, did you all get that brain tattoo from Cesar? I've never heard that terminology before, but if you're okay with it, I'm going to borrow that. That's perfect. Of course. And what about highly technical or highly medical professions, like that might seem, where does the emotion come in? Why is the emotion important? I know my answer, but I'd like to hear your answer. Why would it be important, even in settings that seem very, very serious and maybe a bit more on the technical side?
Well, we are not very good. Our brain is actually not very good at remembering information. We need to first start out from that basis, that people are not very good at remembering just information. We have a limit to that. So a lot of times what happens, especially when you're an expert, technical expert, whether it be in medicine or engineering, or we obviously have dedicated a lot of hours to that to that craft and a lot of study to that technical language and knowledge. So we forget what it's like to be a beginner. We forget that the people that we're usually communicating to maybe haven't dedicated the same amount of hours, same amount of time to develop that expertise in that language. So a lot of times when you're very technical, you're up there communicating and you think, you know, you're communicating something that's really important because to you it's important. But when you communicate in a certain level because you're an expert and the people who are listening to you are not, it really does go over their head. And yes. I believe when we're communicating an idea, we're communicating a message, the most important element is the audience, right? Because if there's no audience, then we're not public speaking. We're just speaking or thinking out loud. You know, there needs to be an audience in order for there to be public speaking. And your goal, your objective should be to influence or to be able to impact the audience. So if we understand that principle, whenever you're communicating, whatever it is, even if it's very technical, even if it's you know, something that is highly an expertise, it needs to impact the audience. So stories, the great thing about stories, and just like you kind of lived it at the beginning, stories connect us. Stories make us feel things. Stories actually make even technical issues or technical knowledge come to life because we're sharing it in a way that other people can connect, can feel, can see, can hear. And that's what at the end helps understanding, helps learning, and helps your messages be much more memorable.
Oh, so well put. I echo every single thing that you said. And if whoever listens to Speak Packed on a regular basis hears me say over and over, the first thing you need to do in front of any audience, not give your bio, there's no other agenda than create connection and community. Yes. As soon as you walk in that space, yeah. Right? Because people need to know they're in the right space, they're with the right people, and they're listening to the right person, right? Yeah. As soon as you connect those dots for them, then they're with you. And as you know, Cesar, and as those who listen to the show know, I am a speaker agent. I own a speaker agency. Before that, though, I was a producer of some pretty very large scale events in the natural wellness space. And I would get incredibly brilliant doctors, internists, right, in the medical field on my stages. Thousands of people would come. And it would just break my heart because sometimes they were talking exactly like you said, up here, and making absolutely no connection. They were not communicating with the audience. I love the way you said, Cesar, that if you don't have an audience, then why are you there? Yeah. And you don't have an audience if you're not, they can be sitting there, but they're not your audience until they clue in and they're with you. And your stories is what helps connect, not only connect the dots in their heads as to why is this important to my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Even in math problems, whatever it might be, if I understand, what am I going to use this for in my life? What's an illustration? Then I can get it. If I just don't see the relevance, then I'm just not going to get there with you. Right. Yeah. And that's what your storytelling does.
Exactly. And there's a principle, Antoinette, that I always love to teach my clients when it comes to specifically, like when you have these instances or opportunities to communicate to your audience, you have an important message that you want to get across. I always remind them that people first want to connect with the messenger before they connect with his message.
Ooh.
People
that, first another want to connect, brain tattoo.
Another brain tattoo, right? People want to connect with the messenger. We are social beings. Let's not forget that. And because we're social beings, we always want to connect first with the person. We want to socialize. We want to really know and feel the messenger before we start believing his message. Yes. So a lot of times, especially with experts, they get up there and they think that the people are already connected to the messenger. So they'll just start giving out the message. And if people have not connected with you, and that's where stories are so powerful, then probably your message, even though it's really important, even though it can generate huge impact, people are going to tune off. Now, if they connect with you and now they're emotionally invested, they'll find relevance in whatever it is also that you're communicating.
Yes. Okay. So I would like, you're a psychologist, right? And many of us out here think that we, since we're not natural born storytellers, that we can never really get there. As a psychologist and as the host of the Strategic Storytelling Podcast, and as a mentor to those who really want to develop their stories, do you find that to be true? There are natural born storytellers and those who just, you know, they're going to try, but never really hit it out of the ballpark.
Well, the good news, Antoinette, is that we're all naturally born storytellers. All of us. We as human beings, we're storytelling creatures. We have been telling stories for over 100,000 years. That's what the anthropologists and people who study human beings and evolution, they say, we've been telling stories for a long, long time. When they find, you know, cave drawings and they find artifacts, those were our first attempts to tell stories. Now, when you start studying psychology and neurology, what you start understanding is the way that we understand the world and the way that we communicate our world is through stories. Think about it. When you get home in the evening after hard days of work and you see your loved ones, you see your partner or your kids, you usually don't pull out a PowerPoint presentation or bullet points, right? When they ask you, hey, how'd your day go? We don't do that because that's not our natural way of communication. When someone asks us, hey, how did it go? What did you do today? The first thing we do is we start telling stories. Yeah. Now, they're not Hollywood version stories unless something Hollywood's happened, but usually we'll be like, oh, you know, today, oh, I got when I got to my office, you won't believe what happened to me. You know, my boss called me into a meeting or I had this phone call today with a client and oh, it was super difficult. We're telling stories because that is the way that we make sense of the world and the way that we communicate our internal world. And actually, when you're thinking, when you're just walking down the street and you're thinking about things, what you're really doing the whole time in your mind is you're telling stories and you're creating your world and your perception based on the stories that you're telling yourself. So I always like to tell my clients from the start, I'm like, you are already a storyteller. That's just the way we make sense of the world. Now, for me, there is a difference between storytelling and strategic storytelling, which is actually what I teach my clients. Because storytelling, the simple definition of storytelling is the art of communicating through stories. And again, we do that. Some do it better than others, but we all, in a way, tell stories. And if you're, you know, on the weekend with your friends, you're probably going to tell a lot of stories when you're, you know, sitting at each other's table and maybe having something to drink. We tell a lot of stories because that's just the way we communicate. Now, strategic storytelling, which is what I focus on with my clients, is the art of influence and change by using stories. So there's a slight difference because, again, when I'm just talking with my friends or where I'm just communicating, I'm telling stories as a way just to connect, as a way just to be a little bit more entertaining. When you're thinking of strategic storytelling, the focus needs to be on what is the change or what is the influence that I want to generate in my audience. So that's why it's a little bit more strategic, right? You're thinking beforehand, what objective do I want to accomplish or what goal do I want to accomplish in my audience? Maybe I want to generate change in their perception towards this new idea that I'm communicating, or maybe I want to change their emotions or feelings or their actions towards something. Whenever we're trying to generate change, now we can think of what stories we could use in order to generate that impact and make that change much smoother. And that's strategic storytelling. So one is the art of communicating by using stories. That's storytelling. One is the art of influence and change by using stories, which is strategic storytelling.
I absolutely love that designation. I'm glad you brought that up because we've all been to the party where there's just this person who keeps telling these stories after stories after stories. And you're just like, trying to find your exit.
Yeah.
it was mildly interesting to begin with, right? Yeah. But then it gets to be a bit much. So we're not getting up on stages to tell our stories. We're getting on stages to strategically connect with our audience.
Yeah.
So utilizing those stories to connect with them is about them.
Yes.
Not about you, right? Yeah. So it's not about me telling my story. It's about me connecting with the audience. I'm so glad you brought that up. Because even as a psychologist, in psychology, I'm sure you have come across people who have high anxiety.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, because this is not my field of study. It's just something I've noticed in speakers. But when a speaker is too focused on themselves, the anxiety goes up. When they're focused on the audience, the anxiety goes away. And what better way to do that than begin sharing a story that's going to connect with the audience? This is just, I'm just coming up with this out of thin air. Is there anything there?
Yeah, the truth is, it's one of the suggestions I also give my clients when they have that anxiety that they're going to speak. Usually when you really start trying to dissect and understand what the thought process is, you'll notice that it's towards them. And, oh, you know, what if I mess up? What are they going to think of me? What if my mind goes blank? What if I forget? It's always me, 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 me. And obviously that generates more pressure. And when we feel more pressure, more stress, anxiety goes up. It's just a natural, our anxiety is just the natural way of our mind trying to protect us from possible danger. That's it. Anxiety. That's why we all feel anxiety at some point in our life, because it's just the body's natural reaction to possible danger. It's just trying to anticipate that there's going to be danger. So get us ready for the flight or fight reaction. Okay.
Yes.
Now, when you're going to get up in front of an audience and you're thinking about the audience and you're thinking of, you know, I'm here to serve, I'm here to help. I know I have something that's going to help them. I just want to make sure that I'm really able to connect with them and be able to give them a powerful message that will help them. When you even just start saying that, your anxiety level goes down, because I always tell my clients, do you get anxious if you have to help somebody? Do you get anxious to be of service to somebody? And they're always like, no, we don't get anxious when we have to help somebody, because again, we're social beings. That's just part of our DNA, is to socialize and to help others. And that's why we feel good. And it's our body's natural reaction when we serve or help others, is we feel good, because our evolution has helped us to feel good so we can help each other out, right? So anytime we help each other, we feel good. We don't feel anxious. We don't feel nervous. We feel good. So if we're able to kind of change that perception and mindset of me and oh, what if I mess up? What if I forget to, I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. I'm here to add value. We're going to start feeling much different when we get up and speak in front of people. Now, I always tell my clients too, even when you're communicating to 1,000, you're only speaking to one.
Yes.
You're only speaking to one. And it's such a, again, a change of mindset when you're thinking, oh, I got to communicate to 1,000. And when you're thinking, I'm just going to be speaking to one person. Because we're okay and we're good at speaking to one. Right now we're speaking to one, even though we know that there's going to be a lot of people listening. I'm just thinking of you. I'm thinking of, how do I connect with you? How do I add value to you? Because you've been so kind to invite me on your show. And how do I add value? Knowing that this is probably going to help others. But when you just focus on helping one through a conversation, now we feel in a much more controlled environment.
Yes, we are very related on that. That is what I train my speakers, and I'm so behind you with that, Cesar, because when you change one, you change millions. When you try to change everyone, you change no one, right? Or you impact or transform or make a difference. It's always that one. And we get grandiose. When we get grandiose about it, then we're going to be anxious.
Yeah, right? You're going to feel that pressure.
That's a big dang job.
yeah, it's true.
So I love that you said that. What I'd love to do, Cesar, is for you to give us some tactical strategies on how to even begin. What stories do we pick? How do we strategically do that? Now, for the Speak Packed audience, I want you guys to know that obviously there's only so much that Cesar and I can cover in this 45-ish minutes that we're together. Reach out to him, look up his podcast, the Strategic Storytelling Podcast, look him up on LinkedIn. He has tens of thousands of followers for a reason. And he's got ways where he can link arms with you and actually help you get that storytelling done so that you've got that crafted in a powerful way for your talks and connecting with your audiences.
Yeah.
So can you start with, where do they go to find you? And then maybe give us some tactical ways to start creating our own stories.
Yeah, so I'm very active on LinkedIn because that's a platform that I've been on for a little bit, and I really enjoy it and think that it helps me to reach my target audience. So on LinkedIn, I'm always sharing content, and if anyone sends me a message through LinkedIn, I usually will reply and see how we can connect through there. Also, like you said, I have a podcast. I actually have two podcasts, one in Spanish and one in English.
Oh,
and
wow.
The Spanish version of the podcast is called Storytelling Estratégico, which is strategic storytelling in Spanish. And that's actually one of the most downloaded Spanish-speaking podcasts in the world. I've had that podcast for about 3 years, and it's got hundreds of thousands of downloads, a lot of thousands of people that listen to it regularly. So if you're a Spanish speaker, there's more than 60 episodes there that you can that you can grab and listen. The English version of the podcast, I think I've got a 6 or 7 episodes uploaded because it's a newer podcast. We just started it a few months ago, but we've already tried to, you know, put up there really valuable content. One of the episodes, I think episode 6, I actually share my 4-step method of how to craft a strategic story. So I would suggest, highly suggest, that's one of the things that people really love when they learn from me is that I try to give people kind of step by step and simplify the process. I'm not going to say, look, here are 20 steps so you can tell a great story. It's a method that's called cosa, which means thing as well. Cosa in Spanish means thing. And the reason why I call it the cosa method is because each one of those letters, those 4 letters, they stand for one of the principles. It's an acronym. And it's a way for you to remember la cosa más importante, or the most important thing, so you can craft the strategic story. So I would, for anyone who's listening, go listen to the Strategic Storytelling Podcast in English if you want. Go listen to all the episodes, but specifically the cosa method episode, which will give you a very simple and step-by-step process so you can craft a powerful
strategic
story.
I will be there. I'm definitely going to take a look myself, take a listen myself.
Now, for anyone who's starting, and actually one of the main, I'd say, questions that I usually get from my clients is, how do I find stories? Because a lot of times we think that we don't have good stories, or even worse, we think we don't have stories. Sometimes clients, when they start working with me, they're like, look, I mean, you have stories for everything. You know, I use a lot of even personal stories that I then connect with organizational principles or with whatever I'm trying to communicate. And they'll say to me, well, Cesar, but you know, this is what you do. So you must have, you know, hundreds of stories. And yes, I do have a lot of stories, but it's because I've done the work of finding stories, of creating that story bank. And the great thing is that we can all create a story bank. And I would actually start there with people. I always tell them, like, in order for you to become a really good storyteller, you first have to become a really good story finder.
Ooh.
I'm going to repeat this. To become a good storyteller, which is what people usually want. You know, I want to be able to tell great stories. I tell them, you first have to become a good story finder. That's
50%. And then deposit those stories, right, that resonate with your overall message and objectives into your story bank. I love this. I've got all kinds of new brain tattoos going on. I love them.
Yeah. So when you start filling out your story bank and building it out, and I'll actually give you some quick suggestions here how to start that process. Once you start building out the story bank, then when you do have messages that you want to get out, you know, you're building out your talk, your conference, and you have a big idea that you want to communicate. Instead of running around, you know, kind of hectic, like, oh, what story do I have? What example should I use? You go to your story bank and you're probably going to find already a lot of possible stories or examples that you could use to help you communicate that message. And also alleviates the stress, calms you down, and you know you have resources. It's almost like I always give the example of, you know, if it's a story bank, right, and you're constantly depositing and you have a lot of stories in there, whenever you need to spend money, you know, you sure feel good if you know you have a lot of, you know, money in your bank, right? If you deposited a lot of things in your bank and you want to buy something now, you're not going to say, oh, I'm going to go into debt, or how am I going to get this money? I already have it in there. So it's much easier and it's less stressful. And it's the same principle when it comes to stories. A lot of times people are like, oh, Cesar, I have to give a talk or I have to give a speech, or I have this important meeting in 2 weeks and I don't know what story to use. Usually they have that anxiety because they haven't done the work of filling out their story bank. Okay. Yes. So here's a suggestion for you. And this is very simple. This is very simple. Actually, I'm going to give you two suggestions. The first one is there are certain questions that you could ask yourself that will help you start in this process of finding or at least being able to locate some of these really good stories that you have in your life, because we all have stories. I mean, every day you're living a story. Every day you're having experiences that are good stories. So I'll share with you three questions. I mean, there are a lot more, but these are three of my favorites that help me to start kind of digging up good stories. All right.
Okay. The first question,
this one I like a lot. Think of when was the last time that you messed up? When was the last time that you messed up at something, whatever it could be? It could be something big, like, yeah, I messed up at work with something, or I messed up in my relationship, or I messed up, you know, when I went to the supermarket. But think of when was the last time you messed up. And if you give yourself just a few seconds, you'll probably start coming up with some experiences. I always say that in the first initial stage, what we're looking for are experiences, and then we'll craft those experiences into stories. Because it's different to just have experiences, and then stories have a structure and they have a certain methodology, but usually you can transform almost any experience into a good story. So the first question is, when was the last time you messed up? Okay, that's a good one to ask yourself. And ask yourself that question. If you have a pen or paper, give yourself a few minutes to see what starts popping into your mind and write those experiences down. So maybe you'll be like, oh, you know, like yesterday I was having a conversation with my kids, and I thought that, you know, that I was understanding what my teenage daughter was saying, and then I realized that I messed up because I didn't understand, and I started arguing with her, and it created a huge conflict just because I didn't really understand what she was trying to say. Okay, you write that down. Just do an overview. You don't have to go into detail of everything. Just an overview. So this experience is when I messed up with my daughter because she was trying to explain something and I thought that I had understood, and I realized that I didn't, and it caused an argument between me and my teenage daughter. Boom, that's one. Okay, and you put it in your story bank. So that's one question. When was the last time you messed up? Second question. When was the last time something changed in your life? When was the last time something changed? And now, if you see, these are very broad questions, and I want them to be broad because I want you to have a lot of space to be able to find different things in your life. So when was the last time something changed in your life? Maybe you moved, maybe you changed your job, maybe you changed a relationship, maybe you changed a certain habit in your life. When was the last time something changed in your life? Something significant, okay? And again, you give yourself a few minutes just to think of that question and start going in there and looking for those experiences that are going to start popping up. I can guarantee you experiences are going to start popping up, okay? Because we've all had experiences of change. And the third one, and again, these are just questions that I like. It doesn't necessarily mean that these are the only three that you can use.
Okay? These are great prompters. Like. I'm already like, just want to start writing. These are great. Yeah.
These are just prompts. These are just prompts to help you. When was the last time you stayed quiet when you should have said something? When was the last time you stayed quiet when you should have said something?
That's a good one.
And you think about it. And you're going to always come up with those, because we all have experiences where we stayed quiet when we should have said something.
Yes.
Now, these are just three. I actually have a list that I share with my clients of like 20 questions, prompts, right? And I always invite them to come up with even more. But if you notice, the one element that's kind of connected to all these questions is that we're looking for these emotionally impactful experiences in your life. Because that is the essence, that is the nucleus of stories. They have this emotional element to it, right? Stories, and the reason why we remember stories, and research has shown that stories are up to 20 times more memorable than just facts and numbers. The reason why we remember stories is because stories are emotionally impactful. Because usually where we find stories are in those emotionally impactful moments in our life. And that's why we remember stories, because our brain stores the information that comes with emotion. So if I ask somebody, hey, do you remember what slide number 13 said from the presentation you were in yesterday? They probably won't remember that. They probably won't remember that. But if I were to ask you, hey, do you remember what the happiest moment in your life has been up to this point? Mm-hmm. And I just give you a few seconds, you'll probably remember something, even if that moment was 20 years ago. But you'll remember something. Why? Yeah. Because our brain stores these experiences that come with high emotional impact. Does that make sense?
So it's not about...
Our brain remembers.
It does make... Mm-hmm. And it's not about manipulating or, sleazy sales tactics, nothing along those lines. It's about connecting, kind of full circle back to what you're exactly. all about, Cesar. Wow. Yeah. Okay. This is so jam-packed in just the short amount of time we had together. I'd love to bring you back because I think we've just barely touched the surface of what you have to offer. What? So the show is Speak Packed.
Yeah.
What pact can you leave this audience to begin really making that next level impact in the space that they're entrusted to in this lifetime?
My pact is obviously going to be related to stories. And yes. I think that what we're all missing at some point is the bravery to share our stories. We all have stories that can change someone's life. We've all had stories that have changed our life. And what makes you think that if it's changed your life, it can't change someone else's life? The thing is, since it is our story, many times we feel vulnerable when we have to communicate our stories. We're thinking, okay, but it's what if no one likes it? What if it doesn't connect? And just like what happened to me when I was 7, sometimes it doesn't have to be the greatest story. Sometimes you just have to be brave enough to get up in front of the audience and communicate it. And you'll be surprised at the change that happens.
Yeah, Cesar, that's so powerful, because when we try to be polished and perfect, we're not going to relate to anyone. None of us feel polished or perfect, right? And when we allow ourselves that vulnerability, maybe even expose some of our own weaknesses you speak from your scars, not from your open wounds, yeah. right? But yeah. still, if you can be authentic and I can relate with you, which is so easy to do, then I'm going to lean in and want to hear and want to learn from you. But if I feel like you're removed and above it all, like you've got it yeah. all figured out, you haven't had any problems along the way, you haven't had any words you wish you would have spoken, then it's going to be really hard for me to connect with you.
Yeah, yeah. What actually happens, Antoinette, when you're sharing your story, what's really happening in people's minds and in their hearts and their feelings is they're hearing their own story through yours. And when you're able to do that, when you're able to share your story in a way that gets people to hear their own story through yours, that's where you get the connection.
Very great. Okay. Thank you for your time today. It has been rich. And speakers out there, own your story. And if you don't already have that down pat, definitely seek out Cesar Castro. He is the one to lead you in that journey, as you can tell, in a way that is natural. It's not threatening. He's not going to make you expose something you don't want to expose, but he's really going to help you find those strategic stories to connect with your audience. One last time, Cesar, how do people find you?
Well, my website is www.cesarcastro.com. It's very simple. And then you'll find my website.
So Cesar is spelled Caesar. But it's Cesar.
Yeah, it's actually C-E-S-A-R. That's Cesar. And then Castro, C-A-S-T-R-O.com. Okay. You'll find it. Or you can go look for me on LinkedIn, Cesar Castro on LinkedIn. You'll probably find it. It'll come up right away. The podcast, Strategic Storytelling Podcast, or even my YouTube channel, Cesar Castro. You'll find information there to help you. Again, I'm constantly sharing free information and podcasts. And I'm also invited to other podcasts to share information. This is my way of giving back. This is my way of trying to accomplish the great mission that I have of helping leaders, communicators, speakers become great storytellers, because I really, really, really believe that the world is a better place when we share our stories.
Yes, it is. And the world is a better place because you're out there helping us share our stories. So Cesar, C-E-S-A-R, Castro, C-A-S-T-R-O.
Oh, yes.
Yep. And thank you for sharing you with us today. I so appreciate you.
My pleasure.
Ciao, ciao for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Speak Pact podcast. To become a recommended speaker of Antoniette's WPC Speaker Agency, or you are a host or planner looking for a dynamic expert in optimized performance, Antoniette would like to personally meet with you. Secure a time with her at speakerbooker.com. Again, that is speakerbooker.com. It all begins with a vision, a voice, and a pact to impact. Join the Speak Pact movement by joining our new private Facebook group at the link in our show notes. Find us on nearly every social media platform at One Antoniette. That's number one, A-N-T-O-N-I-E-T-T-E, or simply hashtag Speak Pact.